Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are going to continue our study on the Holy Spirit. And tonight, I want to help you. Tonight's going to be a fun lesson. It's called The Holy Spirit and Growth in Grace. The Holy Spirit and Growth in Grace. We're going to start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start reading in verse 12. We're going to read all the way down to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 3. In my Bible, it's all on the same page. It's just a few verses into the next chapter, but they kind of go together here. 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 3:3. Ready? Follow with me silently. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Notice the small s. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? Now look at me. No one here on earth will be or ever has reached full spiritual maturity. Everybody understand that? There's only one that has, and his name was Jesus Christ. He is the only one that reached what we would call full spiritual maturity, or maturity, however you want to say it. We are sinners, and sin hinders spiritual growth. It is the sin that destroys the spirit of man. Sin caused the death of the spirit of man. And now we have an old nature of sin and death fighting with a new nature that is spiritual. And we didn't get rid of one when we got the other. So we still have that sin that hinders us. And we don't have the Holy Spirit to help us be more spirit, but we, let me say that again. We do have, if we're saved, the Holy Spirit to help us fight that sinful nature. Just because you have the Holy Spirit does not mean you are spiritual. Does that make sense to everybody? Just because you have a car doesn't mean you know how to drive. Just because you have a garage doesn't mean you have a car. Most of you couldn't put one in yours anyway. All the stuff. We will never reach full spiritual maturity till we get to heaven. Till the rapture, or till when we die and get to heaven. Since this is the case, it is only logical then to see that the less influence our flesh has on us, the more spiritual we will become. This cold's messing with me. I'm sorry. You gotta be glad I'm not on nighttime NyQuil right now. Oh, my soul. I'd be slobbering everywhere. Anyway. In other words, the more we live yielded to the Holy Spirit, and the closer our walk with God is, the less influence the world and our flesh will have on us. That makes sense to everybody? And the less influence that has on us, the more mature spiritually we can become. Now, let me help you with something. In other words, living in the Spirit, yielded to the Spirit, is what allows us to grow spiritually. Look at verse 14 again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Did you ever go soul winning and knock on the door? Lost people think we're nuts. They think the way we live is nuts. Say why? Because they're lost. They don't understand things. Mrs. Barnes and I were talking today about a certain business situation, and she said, I just don't understand why they don't see this. I said, because they're lost. And lost people can't understand spiritual things. And I wasn't correcting her, but dink, light bulb came on. It's more of a, and it was gone. But no. But she deserved that one. Look at chapter 3, verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. My dear friend, Brother Chris Drelliard and his wife had a brand new baby girl yesterday up in Maine. Candace Renee, is that right? Whew, man, I even got the name right. Do not ask me how tall or how fat it was. I don't know. Why is it a baby is long and we're tall? And why is it that it weighed this much and we brag about it and you get to your weight and you don't want to brag about it? I don't get that. But anyway, you're not going to... I asked him tonight. I told him I was praying for him. He said, well, he said, I'm not preaching tonight. He said, I'm going to get my wife home and we're going to get her settled at the house. And they live on the property there. He said, I'm going to get there about 10 minutes before church. But he said, I'm going to be in church, but I'm not going to speak tonight. I got one of my men doing it. I said, good for you. I said, I'm happy for you. I said, you mean you're not going to take your daughter to church tonight? And he said, well, Sunday we are. I was teasing with him. I said, you heathen. I said, you sent me a picture of that baby, and it was naked, man. I said, put some clothes on that thing. And he was laughing. He said, all right, Brother Bush, all right. And he knew I was kidding. Now, wait a minute. You can't take a baby 7 pounds, whatever ounces it was, and expect it to eat a T-bone steak. But it can eat T-bone steak. You say, how's that? Mama can eat it, process it, turn it to milk, and feed it to her. And that is exactly what the preacher does in preaching. He takes what God gives him, processes it, gives it back to the people so that they can take it because they can't eat it on their own yet. It's the same food, just a different form. Now, the word carnal is the word flesh. When you see the word carnal in the Bible, it's not carnival, it's carnal. Not carmel, all right? It's carnal. It means the word flesh. To the degree that a person lives after the flesh is to the degree of immaturity they are spiritually. To whatever degree you live to satisfy your desires and your flesh is to the degree spiritually you are immature. Now, this is why, by the way, saved or lost. Doesn't mean just, by the way, that's why our lost world is so immature right now, it's not even funny. We live in such an immature society, it's unbelievable. And carnal people only live to satisfy the flesh. The average, and I'm using this term here in general, not everybody. The average 20-year-old is less mature than a 15-year-old was 50 years ago. Seriously. And I have proof of that. Carnal people only live to satisfy the flesh. They live for food. They live for their sexuality, finances, whatever I want. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. Let's live for our games. There is no spirit controlling or curbing their flesh, so their flesh takes over, and we're like two little kids in a sandbox. That's mine. No, that's mine. I want this. I want that. And that's how we live our life. Look at Congress. Look how immature they are. Fighting over the fact that Hillary lost, thank God. Now, spiritual growth, unlike physical growth, is not progressive continually. When you are a baby, you start growing physically. And then you grow a little more and a little more, and then we get to the point where we've grown too much. And we're hoping to quit growing. You stop growing this way and grow in other directions. And then gravity takes hold, amen? You can grow spiritually and then fall backwards. And grow spiritually and fall backwards. And grow spiritually and fall backwards. And it is a continual process of growing and falling. You can grow more spiritual, mature spiritually, then live for the flesh and become less mature. It can and often does go back and forth like this in the Christian life. The goal is not to fall back as far as where you started, is to keep on going forward. Let me put it this way. A Christian's growth in grace is an exact ratio to his walk in the Spirit and not his walk in the flesh. I know preachers who are immature because they're not walking in the Spirit. They're walking in the flesh. Well, they can preach good sermons. They can dazzle a crowd, but their walk with God stinks and they're immature, and that's why they want to run around criticizing everybody. Folks, I want our people to grow spiritually. Let me say that I helped somebody today, and they have an adult son who is, I would say, college age-ish, and they grew up in Christian home, grew up in Christian school, graduated, and now are falling away. And I had one of the parents say to me today, I'm not even sure they're saved. I said, who made you God? And I said, Noah got drunk, committed sodomy with his son. Said, Abraham committed adultery. I said, David committed adultery and murder. I just started going down the line. I said, were they saved? I said, just because somebody's saved doesn't mean they become sinless. I kind of re-preached my Sunday evening sermon to him. We get to this point where we see somebody do something wrong. Well, I wonder if they're even saved. Who made you God? So let me give you what the Holy Spirit does with growth in grace, and I think I can help you tonight. Number one, the process of growing in grace with the Spirit is found here. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Right before the book of Revelation, you got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse number 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Everybody look at me. Is that to the lost or to the saved?
Saved.
To the saved, the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. In other words, when we see him as he is, we will meet spiritual maturity. When we see him either in the rapture or when we die and go to heaven, we will see him. And when we see him, we will see him as he is. Key statement of it right there. As he is. So the key to becoming spiritual is a walk with God, number one. You have to have a walk with God. Now listen to me. My oldest son, he one day said, Dad, I've heard hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermons, heard people preach on it. You got to walk with God, got to walk with God, got to walk with God. I have never heard anybody preach on what it means to walk with God. And he said, what does it mean? I said, Josh, it's not just reading your Bible, but you have to read your Bible to walk with God. It's not just reading it, it's reading it and obeying it. It is the obeying of truth in all areas of your life, applying the truth to the Word of God in every area. Okay, I'm not going to preach at you. I'm going to talk to you for a second. You want your children to obey the rules, but you won't obey the speed limit. Bet you if you had Jesus in the car, you would. What's the difference? Holy Spirit's inside you. You see, a walk with God means you can pass by that police officer and not feel guilty, or not hit the brake, or not let off the gas pedal. Yep. Right, Brother Harry? Now, wait a minute. So, a walk with God is not just reading your Bible, it's living it in all parts of your life. It's not just praying, it's getting a hold of God. It's being able to say, I got enough faith to talk to you. I need your help real bad. I need the county to do something, and ain't nobody can do it but you. And look what God did. It's not just attending church, but church is a part of it. Church, you say, well, what's so big about church? Well, number one, you need it. Number two, Jesus started it and said you needed it. Number three, we all need it. We're all here together. And you need the preaching and the teaching, sometimes to skin you, sometimes to pat you on the head, and sometimes to kick you in the rump. In other words, it is making God the center of every aspect of your life. Too many people say, let's put Christ first in our life. Not a good term. I disagree with that term. Because to have a first, you have to go to a second. He is to be the hub. Did you ever see a bicycle tire or a wagon wheel, it's got a hub and all the spokes come off of it? When you put Jesus first, the number one spoke is Jesus. But that's not what you want. You don't turn a wheel by turning the spokes. You can only do that so long and you lose your fingers. Y'all know what I'm talking, you fellas know what I'm talking about for sure. How do you move a wheel? You move the hub. There's an axle that goes from one wheel to the other, and it moves the whole axle. That axle then moves the wheel because you move it from the hub. And Jesus wants to be that hub off of every part of your life, going every direction. He wants to be that hub, that center of every part of your life. And that is exactly what God means by a walk with God. He wants to be the hub of everything you do. You get up in the morning and you look at the closet and say, what am I going to wear? You say, Holy Spirit, what should I wear? You pick it out and you put it on. Don't worry about it. Say, you really believe that? Yes. He helps me pick the right colors, along with my wife. So, I'll walk with God, first of all. Second of all, a little more of Him then is unveiled to you. As you walk with Him, there is an unveiling of Him. Now, let me show you what I mean. The Bible says in 1 John 3:2 there that we shall see Him as He is. That term, see Him, means unveil. How many of you have ever seen the unveiling of a statue or something? The thing about a walk with God is this. God doesn't just pull the whole thing back. You get close to Him, and He pulls it up just a little bit. And you get closer to Him, and He'll pull it up a little bit more. And you get closer to Him, and He pulls it up a little bit more. And He wants you to stay close enough, long enough, to unveil the whole thing. But He's not going to reveal all of it at once because He knows we can't handle it. In other words, He reveals it a little at a time. As we walk day by day with Him, He shows us a little more of Himself day by day. That's what a walk with God is. Next, number three, we see Him more as He is, and how far short we fall from Him. Let me help you with something. You're a new Christian. Maybe you're an old Christian getting yourself right with the Lord, and then things are going okay, and then you feel like you hit the wall and you're ready to get back out of church again. Can I tell you why? Because you start seeing yourself as you really are. I tell people this all the time. A Christian that says, look at me, is about to fall. A Christian that says, I'm just a scum of the earth sinner just like you. They see themselves as they are. That's somebody's going to make it. The closer to God you get, the farther from Him you're going to feel. Because the closer to Him you get, the more you see yourself as a sinner, and the more you see Him as holy and righteous. You're going to start seeing your own weaknesses, your own sin, your own unrighteousness compared to His righteousness. Y'all understand what I mean by that? So that's where some Christians then start getting a little discouraged. They start growing and growing and growing and growing. They hit a wall. Well, I'm just not worthy of that, so I just won't go to church anymore. Boom. Oh, no. Keep coming. Well, I made a mistake. So, made mistakes before you came. Come on. This makes us feel and see ourselves unworthy. But it ought to push us to want to see Him more, not see Him less. It ought to push us to want to see Him more. So we walk with God. He unveils more of Himself. Then we see ourselves far short of what we should be in comparison to Him. Number four, the more we see of Him, the more we like what we see and want to become like Him. He wants to make us like Him. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall be like Him. In other words, we ought to want to be more like Him and not like us. And I hate saying it that way. We are an unfinished block, wanting and awaiting the sculptor to turn it more like what He wants it to be. We ought not be the sculptor. We ought to be the lump of clay. I was out yesterday at the property and they were pouring concrete. And the head fella for pouring the concrete, big old rough fella. I tell you what, our contractor said, I was telling him the other day, if he ever died, he's going to have to be careful because them women's going to take over for him because his wife and his two daughters and his son-in-laws and his son work for him. And them women can trowel concrete better than most men I ever saw, let me tell you. But I walked over there and I reached my hand out. And he said, Pastor, my hands are dirty. I said, I don't give a flip. I put my hand out. He put his hand out. I said, I'm only made out of dirt anyway. He said, come on now. I said, I am. I said, I'm made out of the same dirt you are. He just looked at me. I said, what's the matter? He said, I've seen you enough times out here. He said, you're different. I said, I've been called worse. Then his wife speaks up and says, there was a lady out here with a little boy and they wanted to put deer hoof prints in the concrete out there. I said, yeah, by my office. I said, it was my secretary and her son. I said, because notice there's two windows in my office and one in hers. He said, yeah, why is that? I said, so I can shoot my bow and my gun. I can put either one up. He said, man, there's a lot of good ones out here. He said, yeah, you would do that. What kind of bow do you use? Can I tell you something? We're all made out of the same dirt. Well, my dirt's cleaner than your dirt. Dirt is dirt. Period. Dirt is dirt. So the more we see of Him, the more like Him we should want to become. And number five, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, He forms us a little more into what He wants us to be. Like Him. As we yield to the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, He's then able to form us a little bit more to be like what He wants us to be. It's not you trying to be spiritual. It's you trying to let the Holy Spirit make you spiritual. It's not Pharisaism to say, look at me. It's to be more like Him so that you can get a little closer to Him. I remember being a college student, going to college. I'd see Brother Hiles preach. One service a week, I would go run out in the alley and I'd wait there and I'd shake his hand. Just so I could say I shook his hand. I remember my senior appointment. I walked in, I told him who I was. He said, Craig, I know who you are. Come on in and sit down. I said, "You know who I am?" He said, "Yeah, you stand such and such place. This is what you do. Here's," he said, "I know who you are." I'd never talked to him before, other than, "Hi, howdy," about it. Then I remember working for him. You talk about knees knocking. I remember the first time I had to pick him up at his house to take him to the airport. I got to spend hours in the car with him. You talk about getting, that's one-on-one time. I'm thinking, man, I can have all the conversations, and before I hit the state line, he's only 7 blocks away from the state line. Uh-oh. But I remember, by the way, the closer I got to him, the more time I wanted to spend with him. And the more time I spent with him, the more time I worked at trying to be less like me and learning to do what he did. And the more I did that, see how the progress works? Same things with God. In other words, the secret to growth is to see him more. The secret to growth in grace is to see him more, not see yourself more. For when we shall see him, we shall be like him. When we see him, our appetite is created to want to be more like him. This puts growth in motion. How do we see him? First, we read and obey his word. Then, we walk and talk with him in prayer. Then, we see others fellowship with him, that's church, spend time with him, with people who spend time with him. That is how you grow in grace. Then, number next, I got two more points and I'm done. No poem tonight, amen? Main point two, as we see him more, we then yield to the fruit of the Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to teach you something about the fruit of the Spirit tonight that will change your life. You can go to the average, what they call Christian bookstore. There's probably about 25 or 30 books on the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to show you something about it that will transform your life. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 22. But the fruit, notice the word fruit, singular or plural? Singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now everybody look at me for a second. Notice it doesn't say the fruit of a person. It says the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, now watch this. The fruit of the Spirit is not generated by human effort. It's given by the Holy Spirit. Let me show you what I mean. You only get it as the Holy Spirit bears fruit in you. You can't decide to love. I can't decide to love Brother Wiley. Thank God. I can't decide to love Wiley and spiritually love Wiley. I have to walk in the Spirit and love the Spirit of God. And as I do, when I meet him, I will love him because the Holy Spirit is bearing fruit of love to him through me. I can't work on it. The only thing I can work on is me loving him so that he can love through me to him. Because it is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of man. If I want peace, I can't work on having peace. I've heard so many people say, "So all I want is some peace." That's why the Bible says peace, peace, when there is no peace, because people are working on peace and they're not working on the Spirit of God. When you work at walking in the Spirit of God, the fruit of the walk with God brings peace needed for what you have to face today. It is the Holy Spirit bearing fruit in our body through our spirit for someone else. It is not us. You can't go out and work on the tree and make an apple. You can't go out on the tree and make an orange. You can work on the tree, but you can't make it bear fruit. And you can work on you all you want, but you got to be plugged into the vine. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Abide in me, and my word abide in you, and you shall bring forth much fruit. Everybody see that? Boy, that's good stuff. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit is transferred through you to others as you walk with him. It is not for you to get love. It's for you to have love flow through you. It is not for you to have through the Spirit is love, joy. But it's for joy to flow through you. Peace to flow through you. Long-suffering that nobody wants to flow through you. Gentleness. That one's a hard one. But we need to be gentle. To flow through us. Just recently, I was working with a child having some difficulty. Honestly, I spent 5 minutes with a child, and that child's life in the last week is transformed. Say why? Gentleness. I had a parent today, that child's parent today, texted me and said, I don't know what you said in that conversation, but my child is a totally different person. I need you to teach me how to even parent my own kid. I said, be glad to. Say, what was it? Gentleness. That's all it was. I wasn't mean on him. I wasn't hard on him. Just talked in terms he understood. In other words, you can't work on the fruit. You have to work on walking with God. Notice they're all one. You say, well, I lack this, so I got to work on that. No, you don't work on that. You work on this. As you walk with God and walk in the Spirit, he'll bear fruit through you that you need. And they're all one fruit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. Those are all one fruit that come by the Holy Spirit of God through you. When you say, well, I'm just not loving like I should, you're saying I'm not walking in the Holy Spirit like I should. When I'm up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, I'm not meek like I should be, then you're not walking in the Spirit as you should be. Everybody doing okay? Okay. They all come with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Spirit produces his fruit in us. It's not us producing fruit. It is him having the availability to produce fruit in us for others. When we dwell with someone, we take on acting and thinking like that person. My wife and I will have been married 30 years this year. And her birthday's today. She's 30 again. I won't tell how many times she's been 30, but I told her she didn't look a day over 30. She told me I need to go get my glasses fixed. Now, wait a minute. We can, at times, finish each other's statements. There's times we know what the other person's thinking. Like yesterday or the day before yesterday when we drove down the road and I happened to see Jeannie delivering mail. And I pulled up next to her mail thing and I hit the horn. You ought to seen the face that I got. I honestly felt really bad. You can ask my wife. I did feel bad. I did not intend that. She said, you going to get out and apologize? I said, not after the look I just got. I ain't no fool. I'll apologize later, but not now. I've seen her beat on Sam. No. Now, wait a minute. I did not intend to do that. I told my wife, I said, I really didn't know that was going to happen. She said, I know. We begin to take on each other's mannerisms. You begin to think like someone. You begin to even sometimes act like them. That's why young people... It'll scare you the first time you leave home or you have kids and you said your whole life, I'll never tell my children that. And the first thing out of your mouth, you say, oh, I told myself I'd never say those things. Yeah, you live there long enough, you're going to walk down that road too. In other words, we are not to seek the fruit. We are to walk with them so that it comes naturally through us. we're to seek him, and the fruit will come naturally. I must hurry. Number three, and I'm done. Walking in the flesh, then, chases away the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 again. Turn there. If you ever wondered why these are in the order they're in, I'll show you. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law of sin and death. Watch this. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at me. When you walk with people that are walking after the flesh, it's drawing you away from your walk with the Spirit. When you associate with things that are contrary to the Spirit, it will draw you away from the Spirit. You will begin to take on mannerisms of those things. The flesh goes against the Spirit, and the Spirit goes against the flesh. That's why this old preacher stands as strong as he does on separation. We will not stand and mimic the world. We'll be like what God said. I'll stand strong on it. You might get mad. You might get your feathers twisted, but so be it. I'll twist the feathers. Separation is not a matter of a badge that you wear saying, look at me, I'm super Christian. No. Separation is to keep the things away from you that would keep you from being closer to the Lord. You can't listen to the devil's music and walk with God. It's impossible. You can't put God's words to the devil's music and be close to God. Say why? Because eventually you'll dress like the devil, act like the devil, live like the devil, even though you've got God's words there. Everybody doing okay? Hollywood will pull you away. Isn't it amazing how many of these people are perverts and weirdos, and now they're getting caught in schemes of all kinds of stuff. I don't mean this unkindly. Backslidden Christians. You get somebody that's sour with God, look out. You throw a good apple in a barrel full of sour apples, that good apple is not going to turn all the bad ones good. You get one rotten one in there, it's going to turn everything rotten. Say, what do you do, preacher? We preach on getting rid of the rotten apples or cutting out the rotten spots and keeping what we have and make it usable. Be careful who you hang around with at work or at school. You all seen it. You've done it. You have been a part of it. Your kids go to school and they come back and they're saying things and acting like things, and you're thinking, what happened? Who have you been around? You did not learn that in my house. And it's who they're spending time with. Some of you act that way when you come home from work because of who you spent time with. Ouch. Don't get mad at your kids. Just as walking in the Spirit affects you for good, walking in the flesh will pull you away from the walk in the Spirit. So walking with those that walk in the flesh will pull you away. That's what separation is all about. You want to grow in grace? You want to grow as a Christian? You have to grow away from the flesh to see him as he is. Everybody doing okay? Let me give you two more verses here. Romans chapter 8, and I'm done. This is actually my conclusion. All right? Brother Greg, see that right there? Romans chapter 8. I'm on the conclusion, all right? Yeah, landing strip's right there. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 23. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, for the redemption of our body. We will not be spiritually mature till we have the redemption of our body. That's the rapture, or when we get to heaven. Somebody stands up and says, I speak in the place of God. They're not spiritual. They'll dress in phylacteries and religious garb and talk all kinds of religious talk, but they're not spiritual mature. Matter of fact, God says it's not even spiritual. You see, when we go up in the rapture, or when we die, watch this, we drop our sinful nature. We lose our sinful flesh and our sinful nature. And as I preach Sunday night, one of the greatest things about heaven is there'll be no memory of sin. There'll be no memory of any sin or any of our sin nature. Then we can become spiritually mature. Look at verse 13, same chapter, Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. In other words, when we die to our flesh, we yield to the Spirit, and we do what He says, then we can find out what real life is all about. And we can mature spiritually. You know, just because your stomach says you're hungry doesn't mean you're supposed to eat. I know that's a foreign concept. But we live by the appetite of the flesh. And we're so used to feeding it that we do it whenever it says, I want something. And that can get you in trouble. You have a group of people in America that are grossly overweight. You say, why? Some of it is biological. I get that. But much of it is by what we pack down the pie hole. Then you have a group of people that think they're too fat and they weigh, 68 pounds and are 5'5". And everything they put down, they throw up because they don't want to get too fat. You have two extremes here. You listen to the statistics. One-third of all children are overweight. One-third of our children in America are starving when they go to school every day. Okay, what is it? Where are we here? We are to die to our flesh and deny the influence of the flesh to live and walk in the Spirit. I'm not saying it's sinful to eat. It's not. Thank God. I do it at least once a day. But may I say this? Listen carefully here. When we walk in the Spirit, He is to have control. His fruit then is produced by our lives. And when this happens, it takes conscious awareness that we are yielding to the Spirit and not yielding to the flesh. It's that simple. It is an act of submission. God, I submit to you. I don't get this, but I'll do it. You want us to build a church building? Right. With what? You help me find a piece of property, we'll talk about it. We found a piece of property. I don't want to talk about it. Now what? Oh, go talk to an engineer and an architect. Okay. There's too many zeros after that, those numbers. Okay, talk to a contractor. All right. This is all well and good, but how are we going to get that kind of money? Well, let's move from one building to another. Right. Look where we're at. You have to walk in the Spirit. Did I see the end at the beginning? Uh-uh. Did I know how many steps it was going to take in the middle of it? No, or I would have never done it. No. But you just learn to walk in the Spirit. And He guides you each and every one of those steps. He may not show you the next step, but you got to take it to see it. Just like driving back from youth conference in the mountains on 68, foggy as all get out. I even had to slow down. Because it was like a white wall. Phew. Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, just don't tell anybody you're nervous right now. Hide your panic. Duck philosophy. Calm and smooth on top and underneath, you know? White knuckling. Yeah, we'll take it a little slower here. And I'm hoping I don't see red lights in front of me. And we got through it. I couldn't see very far, but I could see far enough to go a little farther. And that is exactly how you walk in the Spirit. A little at a time. Day by day. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Growing in the Lord is simply walking in the Spirit. And the closer you get to Him, the more you see Him. The more you see Him, the more you want to be like Him. The more you want to be like Him, the more you yield to it. The more you yield to it, the more He can form you, and the more you can be like Him so that you can start the process over again. You'll go up and you'll go back, and you'll go up and you'll go back. Don't worry if you're on a back motion. You can turn around and head right back to it. It's that simple. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. You can put them down.